On Friday's Page One, the Egyptian government broadened its crackdown, arresting journalists and foreign observers, and the U.S. is discussing a plan for President Hosni Mubarak to resign. That would clear the way for the vice president to step in. The trustee for Bernard Madoff's victims says J.P. Morgan Chase realized what Madoff was up to, but didn't alert regulators. And parents here in New York are worried about PCBs in school light fixtures. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Egyptian government widened its crackdown, arresting journalists and human rights activists. Opponents of President Hosni Mubarak pushed out of Cairo's main square and called for bigger demonstrations on Friday. The Obama administration is talking with Egyptian officials about an immediate resignation, with Mubarak turning over power to a transitional government. He's balked at the idea, but administration officials say the new government would be headed by Vice President Omar Suleiman, with support from the Egyptian military. Suleiman would also begin a process of reform. There's no clear opposition leader, but as correspondent Scott Shane reports, one of the few near certainties of a post-Mubarak future is the Muslim Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1928, and today it's the biggest Islamist movement in the Muslim world. It has branches in many countries, but it was really born in Egypt, where it is the largest opposition force against Mubarak and has been for many years. Officially, it's banned there, but in a post-Mubarak Egypt, the real question is whether it would be satisfied with being one of a number of parties in sharing power, or whether it would seek to monopolize power and install a regime guided by Islamic law, Sharia.
Correspondent Scott Shane also says the Brotherhood's hostility to Israel has long made Washington uncomfortable. Elsewhere on Friday's Page One, J.P. Morgan Chase executives reportedly wondered about Bernard Madoff long before his scheme was exposed. Times reporter Diana Henriquez has been going through newly unsealed court documents. They show bank executives were suspicious long before the Ponzi scheme collapsed.
Now, the same allegations have been made against a lot of other global banks who did business with hedge funds that invested with Bernie Madoff. But the difference here, of course, is that Chase was his bank. That's where his checking account was. I mean, they had access to information about activity in Madoff's bank accounts, the cash moving through, where it went, how much it was. They had that information, and the other banks that they had sued previously, that the trustee had sued, did not have that access. The trustee asserts in his lawsuit that the bank should have reported to the federal government that these transactions looked suspicious, that they looked like money laundering or that they raised suspicions and ought to be investigated. The bank flatly denies that.
Times reporter Diana Henriquez. PCBs in New York schools are raising concern among parents. At one school on Staten Island, hundreds of children were kept home last month after parents learned PCBs were leaking from classroom light fixtures. Some 800 other schools around the city have the same lights. City Hall says there's no immediate health risk, and replacing the lights could cost $1 billion. The city is in negotiations with the EPA. In communist Cuba, people are enjoying the private sector. President Raul Castro opened the door last year. That was around the time the Cuban Labor Federation said the government was going to lay off 500,000 employees. The ranks of the self-employed have jumped 50% since then, although Cuba's private sector is still tiny. Friday's Times says some of the new businesses involve things like selling coffee from the front yard or hawking bootleg DVDs. Inside Friday's Times, new census figures are out. They show New Orleans is 29% smaller than before Hurricane Katrina. The actual count taken last year was smaller than the census estimate from the summer of 2009. A Senate report on the Fort Hood shooting said they could and should have been prevented. The report said the Defense Department and the FBI failed to act on information that Army Major Nidal Malik Hassan was a problem soldier who'd taken up Islamist extremism. The report said the Army should have discharged him and opened a counterterrorism investigation. Friday's Business Day section says a very snowy January didn't put a chill on retail sales. Retailers beat analysts' expectations with a 4.2% increase. The parent company of Victoria's Secret reported a 24% jump. Target said its sales were up 1.7% on weak demand for expensive items like electronics. New York Yankees pitcher Andy Pettitte has decided to retire. He's expected to make it official on Friday. That's another frustrating turn for the Yankees this offseason. The team was ready to pay the 38-year-old Pettitte more than $12 million to stay in the rotation. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.